listening to the Pinball Podcast with Don and Jeff.
Hey, welcome to the Pinball Podcast for December 2014. Do you know what episode it is? 45?
73.
Dang it, Jeff. 73. Episode 73. With me, as always, is Jeff. How are you doing today, Jeff?
Oh, great. There's so many good feelings, you know, holiday and yeah. Pinball. Especially pinball.
Joyful time for the hobby.
It's just a happy, happy time.
And
just a big love in.
Right, yeah. That's why we're here playing this fun game, having a good time with our buddies.
No controversy.
No. I don't know what you're talking about. Nifty LEDs, Jeff. Speaking of good feelings and good buddies, niftyled.com, your source for LEDs that are nifty. They've got free shipping over $100, $5 flat rate shipping under $100, free french fry trays, easy to navigate website, good selection, great prices, friendly staff, good customer service that don't have anything to do Saturday nights besides respond to your emails.
Yeah.
That is niftyled.com.
And I promise they'll never be the reason you hate pinball.
I don't see that happening. I'd never heard an ill word spoken about niftyled.com.
Yeah, the nicest thing you can say about someone is that you've never heard someone say something bad about them.
Were you going to challenge that and say something bad about them?
I would never.
Okay, good. They are our sponsor.
They did respond to our suggestion that someone buy 20,000 LEDs from them, and they said they will make a french fry tray large enough to accommodate that order. So the challenge is on.
I did see that. Is there a game that takes that many? I mean, there's a lot of inserts in a couple games out there, but I don't know about 20,000.
I don't know. Make a wicked mod for Goliath.
I think Tim Arnold would be the only one to take him up on that a couple years back.
Yeah, I could see that.
So, cool. Thank you. Nifty LED. Guys over there. Great guys. And Measle Mods. I got a dog in that fight, so I don't mind mentioning them. MEZELMODS.com.
Hey, they're upgrading their equipment, I noticed.
Yeah, they bought a new MakerBot.
Yeah, that's cool stuff. They've been doing some cool things,
we've been drowning. Those slave drivers over there have had me soldering day and night.
Oh, your poor fingertips.
It's alright, it's been good.
Yeah.
Appreciate the
If you look at your hands, do you have any visible burn marks anywhere at the moment?
No burn marks. I did split my thumb, and it was really pretty bad. I had to wear a Band-Aid for several days. It was very annoying.
Yeah, doesn't sound
made
great.
Made me very irritable, but we've healed. So there's Don's health report.
That's good.
So, Ryan, you're good to go. All right, you ready to go? We're going to be talking about this, what we've been doing in pinball, what you've been doing in pinball. What others have been doing in pinball?
Yeah, and I think I'm ready.
Go.
Nothing.
Okay, yeah, I'm right there with you.
I've had 3 Christmas parties this week. I've got like all of the
lazy.
Yeah, you know where you volunteer to help your wife out with the little gifts for the neighbors and such. No. I got your Christmas card though. That was nice.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good deal.
You all looked very pleasant.
Thank you.
I've played a little bit of my machines, but I haven't been out anywhere. I haven't had anybody over. I've just been in like 100% Christmas party mode and just trying to like survive the final run to the holiday season wrapping up.
Yeah, it's been rough lately. My son is cutting some teeth, so he's been more than a handful.
Yeah, that's
more
fun
than he usually is.
That's fun time.
It's been awful, basically. I don't know if you could hear him screaming. He was screaming right before we started recording, but I don't hear him right now.
Yeah, my younger son is getting some molars in right now. So instead of sleeping, he just plays the I'm going to be as restless as possible and you're going to deal with it.
Good man.
So
Santa needs to bring us some rum.
Yeah, that's the old-timey fix on that.
That's right. Oh, well. Yeah, I haven't been playing much either. I did play the new Venom table on Pinball FX.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that a little bit more. And played a little Rulers of the Realm, kept falling asleep. speaking of Rulers of the Realm, last episode we were talking about Lethal Frag and his Twitch channel. So after we were done recording, or maybe it was the day after, either way, whenever I went to go put together the show notes so I could link to his Twitch page, he was playing Rulers of the Realm.
Huh.
So it's kind of cool. He had, I don't know, there's over 100 people watching him. Just kind of, yeah, he's a big deal.
Yeah, that's cool. More pinball on Twitch, man. That's always good
to know. Yeah. Oh, and my wife would be upset if I didn't mention this. Do you know who Michelle Phan is?
Pond?
Phan, or Fan? P-H-A-N.
Oh.
I think it's Phan.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't either. Apparently, she has a contract with Lancome.
Yeah.
Which is a makeup company. Yeah. She does YouTube makeup videos, but she has over 1 million views on each of her videos. Anyway, she talked about pinball the other day, and my wife thought this would like revolutionize the industry, send orders through the roof, because she has so many fans and whatnot. I don't know. She said, "Hey, Big Lebowski and Walking Dead, those are two games that are coming out." She didn't really say anything else. It was about 15 seconds long. So, I don't know. It was cool, I guess. If you're into makeup videos, check out Michelle Phan.
Yeah, you know I am.
I was going to talk about your new concealer, but I didn't want to do it on the air.
It's okay. It's okay.
Didn't want to embarrass you.
So, wait.
Sorry, go ahead.
This is important news. Yes. On Friday, I went on a overnight camping trip with the scouts, and my neck hurts because I slept on the ground, and the pillow I took was not sufficient, Don. It just wasn't. So
we haven't even gotten into the meat of the show yet, Jeff.
So
we already got people hanging up.
So yeah, that happened.
They're re-listening to Serial episodes now.
Yeah.
Have you been following that?
Yeah, yeah. You can listen to it on your digital Sony Walkman.
Yeah. No, Serial.
I know, the podcast.
Yeah.
You can listen to it on your Walkman.
Sony makes a Walkman? I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's still a product line.
All right.
We
got an interesting email from a listener named Adam. This is kind of had to do with what we were doing in pinball last week. I agree with you 100% about collapsible pin gulps. The only thing we liked about them was being able to collapse them to stand between the pins for service. He said, dozens of broken glasses and mucky leg levelers later, we started buying left-sided pin gulps, the normal original size, and mounting them on the right side. This allows for the pin gulp to sit in front of the cabinet, totally out of the way for service.
Oh.
And the games can be even closer together. It's also a more ergonomic location for players sipping on pinball juice. Same does not apply for the left side. This can block the coin door from opening far enough to get the coin box out.
That's an important distinction, actually.
Yes. And that's Adam over at the Pinheads Pinball, not podcast, Pinball with an S. It doesn't have an address on here, so I don't know where he's at. But that is a very good point. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm going to take his advice and buy a left-sided pin gulp.
I wonder if it'll get like Indiana Jones gun syndrome, where you just slam into that sucker
three out of four times you walk past.
Because I can't tell you how many times my Indiana Jones put me on the floor walking around.
Oh. You got to put it at the end of the row.
Yeah. Jurassic Park did it, too, every once in a while.
My Star Trek Next Gen was always at the end of the aisle, so I never had a problem.
He's down. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't get taps in the nuts with the
well, the pin gulp would probably hit you right in the thigh. Just a good dead leg.
Yeah, like I said, the nuts.
Don't brag, Don.
Ooh. Yeah. And I've done a disservice. I effed up.
Uh-oh.
Several weeks ago, before our last show even, we got a message from Ryan Claytor saying, since you guys have nothing to talk about anyway, why don't you mention the first official Pinside poster? So, yes, he created a t-shirt design. He did a giveaway on our show for a t-shirt, I don't know, a couple of months ago. And they're still available, pinside.com. But now there's a poster. It's limited to 100 prints. They're all signed by Ryan. And I just wanted to throw him a bone.
Yeah, they're cool. I like them.
Yeah.
I liked the limited edition Trolls variant.
Yes. So the pre-order is over, but anyway, if you want one, he's only making 100, so you better get on the stick now. They're suitable for framing, they're 18 by 20, and they're on number 100 French paper, which means something to people who collect posters, I guess.
So when those are all sold out, is he going to announce a premium?
That's right, yes. Oh, wait. He's going to use some of his glitter makeup and touch up the art there. New toppers.
Yeah. We're teasing stories right and left, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he also said specific number requests will be granted. So you can get your, whatever, number 69 to match your Walking Dead LE number 69.
LOLOLOLO.
Yes. Alright. Alright, moving on. Anyway, check out, Ryan's a good guy. Check out elephanteater.com too.
There we go. He will not scam you.
We got to keep our one listener happy, so we throw that out there for him. We got a little bit of show feedback here before we get into bitching and complaining for like an hour and a half. Hey, Don and Jeff, I'd like to hear you discuss some more EMs, but with so many out there, I'm not sure which ones you're familiar with. Can you give me some that you both have experience with? No point in requesting a game that neither of you have played. We asked for featured games of EMs for featured games. And he also brings up, I don't think I've ever heard you guys talk about the transition from EM to solid state. I felt that some very early solid state games just would have been better off with chimes. Take Paragon. Great game, but with the beep and boop sounds are just poopy. Somebody should come up with a replacement sound ROM for some of those early SS games. Keep up the good work. Yeah, that's from Don. So yeah, he's got a couple good points there. We should, I don't know, let's put together a short list and compare and see if we... where we overlap with the EMs.
We both like the EM version of Mata Hari.
Fireball? Laurel and Hardy?
Did you say Lauren and Hardy?
Laurel and Hardy. What did you say?
Said Mata Hari.
Oh, Mata Hari. Yes. Yeah, go back to that episode and pretend that's all we
talked about.
And
pretend we only referenced the EM version.
The EM.
No, I think we...
Yeah, we both do like that one.
I think we've both played a lot of EMs. I know you spend a good amount of time in the EM rooms or rows at shows, and I do too, so I bet we have a lot of overlap. We just haven't talked enough about it, and I think last show we were considering an early solid state, so... But that's a good angle, is to talk about the sounds, because... There are some rough ones in those early days, and it's understandable.
That's very true.
They didn't have the space available to put in very high quality sound samples. Well, they weren't samples. They were, I don't know, the way that they did sound tones in those early solid states, pretty cool, even though they sound crappy.
Yeah. I'm cool with some of the Eugene Jarvis stuff. That's like, you know, he still built tension into these like limited sound things, but it's way more than beeps and boops.
Some of them are just beeps and boops, though.
Some of them are terrible. I think, what is it, Amazing Spider-Man is pretty bad.
Yeah, it's grating.
I don't know. There's a couple of pretty bad ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, good job. We should throw that on the docket to bring up with a more enriched, more fleshed out discussion.
Yeah, I agree. And then there's also ideas of like, you know, with the mods, that'd be kind of cool if people found ways of creating some sort of mod for the early solid states where they could do new sound samples off like an SD card or something. And I don't know how feasible that would be, but that'd be pretty cool.
Seems like you could.
Maybe.
People are making like robot dogs and doorbells and vacuums and all kinds of crap. Why not? A little sound chip. Easy. Says I, who have nothing, no idea how that works.
Yeah. Yeah. But it definitely should be easy, right?
Yeah. We got a couple emails from Eric Manji. He's our he's got the beat on the digital or the virtual pinball games. He said the Ask Homework people, they sent an email to everybody on their list about the Zachariah release of Android. We talked about it coming, I think, last episode or the one before that. They said management has made the decision that their first Android game will actually be Dirt Masters, which is not a pinball machine. It's a, I don't know, trial-style monster truck game they made. So they're going to try that to see how the procedure works to send and approve a build for Google Play and how the selling options work and whatnot. So if it's already sent for review, so if that one goes well, then they'll bring over Zachariah right after it. It'll include all 26 solid-state games and one EM table.
Well, I want that.
Which are already in the iOS build.
Yeah, I want that.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. And also, Atomic Pinball is coming soon to iOS. They posted on the Pinball Arcade fans forums. And I think it's Color Monkey. Let me double check. Yeah, Color Monkey is the name of the developer. But they posted that they're redoing a game called that was called Robobot, I guess. So now they're doing Revenge of the Robobot and a Mexican wrestling theme. Which they posted a picture of the Mexican wrestling one, the Luchador one. It's possibly called El Diablo. That's what it says, giant in the middle of the playfield. But it looks really cool. It's got, it looks like two ramps and a nice big loop. I don't know. It looks fun. It's a fun idea for a theme, too. I can't think of any other Luchador games. Luchador? Whatever.
Luchador.
It looks fun. It looks similar, I guess, to Theater of Magic and layout, but yeah, looks cool. So that should be coming out to iOS very soon, and I don't know, I'm sure we'll talk about it. Once it comes out, I'll buy it and we'll play it. I'll let you know.
Cool. Yeah, just look at you supporting the digital pinball world.
Yes. Oh, I did download, crap, what was that game that, oh, hang on, remember there was that $4 virtual game that was made by some Japanese company or Chinese company?
Yes.
I'm not racist. Remember we talked about it last episode? Little Wing.
Yeah.
What is it called? Crystal Caliburn 2. Anyway, I downloaded it and played it, and I suck, and it seemed okay. I don't know if it was worth $5. I got an iPad, so I need to get it over to the iPad and see how it works on there. I don't know. Playing pinball on the tiny little iPhone is not the best way to do it.
You need the iPhone 6 Plus.
Yeah, I need
just
that.
Just so you can play there pinball.
Every insert light on the playfield has, like, text next to it. So there's a ton of text. That's a little odd. But the actual layout is pretty solid.
Nice.
Yeah. A very in-depth review there.
Well, that's the issues that matter.
Right. Then we got another email from Matt Hansen. He said, "You fit Goatsy, Tub Girl, and Mr. Hans into your podcast with a disturbing amount of ease."
We're sorry.
Well done. Yes. I actually do have a question for the show. When the topic of what video would make for a great pinball theme, people talk a lot about classic arcade games. What console game from the last 15 years would make for a great theme? Another question is, what original theme hasn't been done yet or done well? That's something we could probably talk about in a future episode, because that'd be kind of a fun top five, maybe. Or even if we talk about it maybe on our next show and have listeners submit their ideas now, that might be cool.
Yeah, limiting it to the last 15 years, huh? I mean, there's a lot of good ones, to be honest.
Yeah, off the top of my head, Shadow of the Colossus and Katamari Damacy would be two of my
favorites. Katamari would be kind of a no-brainer there.
Odama.
Just keep reaching for that low-hanging
fruit. The pinball arcade. What? Oh.
No, like, there's a lot of stuff that'd be cool. I mean, Bioshock, either the original or Infinite, would both be pretty awesome in pinball form. Because if you did Infinite, you'd have to have the, you know, wire rails everywhere, because that's part of the game. Same with, like, if you want to really, really new, that Sunset Overdrive on the Xbox One would be perfect for pinball. But I agree, we should probably expand that into a full conversation down the line. I'd want Bayonetta, just because I want Bayonetta everything.
More Bayonetta stuff.
Yeah, it'd probably be a crappy pinball.
I'm the same way with Peggle. I need a Peggle pin.
Yeah, that would be good for the P3 platform.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah, very good suggestion. So we'll have to think about those more and go over them. I guess we should have done that this week, but F that guy.
Yeah,
so.
At least for a little while until we do it.
those are good. Those are good questions we've never been asked.
No, that's good.
In that way, yeah. Taylor Reese, he mentioned this a couple weeks ago, and I forgot to mention on the last show, had his Indianapolis 500 on location for a friend's art show. total of 2 weeks with 400 plays on the nose. It was set to free play, but that is a pretty impressive number. Yeah, so that's 200 plays a week. So that's $100 a week on 50-cent quarter play, which is good. That's real good.
Yeah, that's some activity. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so we need to start putting pins out on art show locations. That needs to happen.
I wish I had more around here.
Yeah. Oh. Me too.
Come put some games out here.
We got an email from Eric. Last month, Gene had asked for pin golf goals.
Yeah.
So he sent in a little list here, so I'll read those now. I need to just forward this to Gene, though. I forgot. Funhouse, get the trapdoor a million plus once.
It's mm-hmm. a good one.
Strikes and spares, advance the bonus multiplier to 3 times. That's a good one on a lot of like early solid state games.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good general goal. T2, play video mode. Might not be good since it could be a random award. That's true. When I had it, it didn't pop up a whole lot, but yeah, starting video modes is a different kind of challenge. Some people really suck at video modes.
Luckily, you just have to start it.
Yeah, you just got to start it. Soprano, start a Bing party multi-ball. I don't know how that works at all. Demo Man, get 20 combos. That's a good combo game. Indiana Jones, the Williams version, start 3 modes. That could be 1 ball or 3 balls easy.
Yeah, easy.
Or more.
Depends on the bounce factor on that mode start.
I know. Starting a mode is a challenge on that sometimes. Medieval Madness, start multi-ball madness with 2 or more objectives stacked or destroy 4 castles. That would take me like a dozen balls or more. It would have to be all just free play, 10 balls. Yeah. I suck at that one. But yeah, that is a good one for your A-list pinball players.
You know, no good gophers, since it's golf, you could have get a hole-in-one.
Yeah, that could happen first shot of the game.
Which would be pretty fun.
Never.
If people did that right off the bat.
Yeah. That is a good one. He said, I think making 2 rules non-score based and adding the caveat of whichever comes first, it could lend for interesting strategies from players. Like, say, make one easier to accomplish but takes more shots and one harder to accomplish but less shots. Yeah, your no good gophers instance is a great example right there. That could be one shot. Or many.
Yeah.
Getting multi-balls obviously going to take a little longer, but might be easier than hitting that one hole-in-one shot. So, yeah, thank you, Eric. Those are great. I hope that helps Gene out. I'm going to shuffle stuff around here. Actually, a lot of these kind of go together, besides Andrew Burke's boxers or brief question.
It's actually neither. It's boxer briefs.
I just tape it to my leg so it doesn't get in the way.
You don't want it to sound like applause when you run?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I just don't want to step on anything. There we go. Yeah, and somebody, Ryan Grant, wrote in regards to the comment on last episode, how no one watches any of the videos we mentioned, our non-recommendations. He will say, yes, someone did in fact watch Walls Fall Out, and no, I haven't been able to eat anything for 3 weeks. Job well done.
Yeah, so, sorry?
Yeah, well, that's your own fault, dude. Sorry. All right, so we might as well just want to talk about the big stuff now. Might as well, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Replay FX registration, Pinburg registration. Did you see that? Sold out like right away.
Yeah, it was almost like trying to get tickets to Comic-Con or something.
Yeah, it was way less than an hour, wasn't it? Like 10 minutes.
It was quick. It was like. Bowen posted to Twitter, hey, you can register. Just kidding. It's over. We're full.
it was awesome. Quick. So, lots of people can attend Replay FX, but you might not be able to play in the tournament there.
The tournament scene is very alive right now in pinball.
Yes. Yes. Very much so.
Esports.
So, we'll bring this up. Joe Zinkus wrote in. Andrew Driver did. Broken Token. At Chuck Wirt, at The Ball is Wild. Lots of people wrote about this. Joe wrote, you must talk about the Dutch pinball debacle.
Debacle.
Still giving everyone's what?
The debacle.
Debacle. Phil giving everyone refunds through PayPal, dishing out dirt on how the company is running, how they didn't lock in the license, and they're showing stuff, and hinting that Back to the Future is their next title. What, you know, what's going on? Yeah, this blew up big time yesterday. Try to be, I don't know, somewhat neutral. Jeff has their email handy, but basically, one of the three guys quit and then just started shooting out refunds to people via PayPal, and the justification seemed to be that his social security number was on the PayPal account, and he contacted the other guys at the company several times to, you know, cut them loose, get them out of there. Yeah. They still hadn't, so he just started refunding people using that balance. I don't know if it's because of tax reasons. Is he going to get hit with taxes on it if it's in his account at the end of the year?
Well, what Phil was saying on Pinside is that if you've collected deposits but you haven't sold anything, that it's basically a form of debt, and he didn't want that all to his name. It sounds like he became disillusioned with the product, thinking it's not going to come out, not going to go anywhere, and he didn't want his name pinned to all of that. So he just, as you said, started firing off refunds, which started hitting people right and left, and people were jumping on Pinside saying, hey, I just got all my money back. I don't know what's going on. I didn't ask for it, didn't want it. I still want the game. And then eventually Phil showed up and started, well, as Joe said, dishing dirt on the situation. But essentially, Phil wants out. He doesn't want to be associated with the project anymore. He wants to hand back all the money that was collected in his PayPal account. Just try and get out and away from the project. But as far as Dutch Pinball is concerned, Phil's still a part of the company. Do you want me to just read a few lines from that email?
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me just say this real quick. So Phil was shooting out comments like every couple minutes. He didn't like have a big manifesto, and he wasn't answering questions really. He was just like, he typed two lines and then post it, type two more lines and then post it.
Yeah.
So it was a big long thing. Meanwhile, there's still been no response from Dutch Pinball on this gigantic Pinside thread that's like 900 comments or so. But somebody did post that Dutch Pinball emailed all the people who ordered Big Lebowski, and that's what Jeff has.
Right? Yeah, and it was just a big blast that went out to anybody who was on the order list. And basically, I'll just read a few sections from it. If you want the whole thing, it's in the big giant Pinside thread. It's on page 5, if you want to go. It's actually, I don't have the post number, but they say, you know, we'd rather be focusing on our event, because this also overlapped their event at Modern Pinball in New York, which is crummy timing. But they said, although Phil announced to leave the company, he officially still is one of the three shareholders of Dutch Pinball USA Inc. and in charge of Dutch Pinball USA Inc.'s PayPal and bank account. The company building the game is Dutch Pinball BV. So it's like Dutch Pinball USA is handling funds and money, and he, you know, Phil was helping with licensing, and, you know, he's kind of like their presence in the U.S. is what I should say. Anyway, so they were saying, yeah, so Phil announced that he wants to leave the company, and then they're saying they said we did everything in our power to settle issues in a normal way with Phil. Unfortunately, he decided to take matters in his own hands and is doing whatever he's doing for reasons we don't know. We really regret your involvement in this situation. We hope we can settle this as soon as possible so we can focus on fun things again. They go on to say that the game is still on track, it will be released, and they have future products. Then they say if your money got refunded but you still want the game, you can go ahead and retry the payment and process it. You won't lose your space in line, so your order is still, you know, held even though your money's been refunded. You just need to pay again, and they won't throw you to the back of the line or anything like that. So it's kind of a crazy situation. It sounds like there was a ton of fighting going on behind the scenes between Phil and you know, some of the other members of the team. And Phil went on to make accusations that I'm not going to name anybody personally. If you want to read what Phil said, go to Pinside and check it out. But he was saying some people were taking money out, either to pay themselves or for personal use, and that he's afraid that if the game doesn't come out, that money's not going to always be there to refund without going into debt. And then, as you were saying earlier, that the license wasn't fully secured, some of it including people's likenesses or objects on the playfield, such as the Time magazine cover wasn't signed off, and I think the Kahlua bottle. Just a few things. And then the playfield as a whole was shown before permission was given, and I guess permission still hasn't been received for that. So there's a lot of he said, she said stuff going on, but it's quite a read if you can wade through 17 pages of posts.
Yeah, it's a big mess. If there's, I can put up a second link that only shows Phil's comments, so you can kind of just read. It's the Reader's Digest version, as they call it, but it's pretty long too. It's 61 posts, I think. So
yeah, and they go anywhere from one line up to 20 lines each. So
yeah, there's pictures of emails and PayPal stuff, and yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I know some people who have pre-ordered the game, I'm friends with on Facebook, and they basically, they want refunds, so they've been contacting to get refunds. They were not automatically issued one, and they haven't received, basically they haven't received any contact from Dutch Pinball yet about that. So they're kind of freaking out too. A lot of people are jumping ship, just being uncertain. I don't know that they're necessarily at that point. But
I don't know.
It's a touchy situation over there.
It is. So I guess
so. If
2 or 3 weeks, most of the stuff we probably need to know will shake out based on how on track this is.
Sure.
This is the big blow up, and there's going to be damage control or over the top accusations or maybe over the top defenses going on. But this will take a little while to shake out. So I don't know. If I had money in it, I would be tempted to pull it and just say, I'm going to wait and see if this stabilizes and try and get back in. I don't know. It'd be hard for me to leave money in that, knowing how some troubled projects have gone in the past.
Yeah, it's scary. I don't know. One of the things that kept me going with Jersey Jack is that he'd been in business for 30 years. You know, he was a name in the industry. Even though he hadn't made a pin, he had a reputation. Dutch Pinball has a good reputation, too. It's just made me more nervous.
Yeah.
Because you never know.
And you know that Jack had other assets other than just the pre-orders to draw from. So if he kind of got backwards on things, he could still find a way to fund it and finish it and all that stuff. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
So, yeah. I'm sure you'll get a big coast-to-coast dissertation from Nate, like today or tomorrow or any day now.
Yeah, apparently he was traveling when this all broke, so.
Yeah, I'll have more to say about it. So check out Coast to Coast Pinball. I don't know. We don't want to do too much.
Yeah, I'm hesitant to take a side on it at this point.
Speculation. Oh. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, stirring the pot. It's funny because a lot of people have asked me the last couple of months, like, are you getting out of the hobby? You seem really down about it. I don't feel down about it at the moment. There have been times in the past when I have, so I'm sorry if it sounds like that. I just, when I say, yeah, I want to sell a bunch of games, it really is just a financial thing. Like, I'd rather put that money elsewhere. Pinball can't be a luxury for me as much as it was in the past. It's not that I don't like pinball. I don't want to follow it. I've been kind of tired of people talking smack online every which way you look. So I've been avoiding Pinside a little bit more lately, but
yeah, I'm no less interested in pinball than I was, you know, during the times when I was rotating my collection like crazy. I think I've just kind of made a conscious effort to disconnect from the upsetting sides of things, and it makes me probably sound a little bit more casual, but I keep up with what's going on. I just don't involve myself in it as much, so.
Yeah. Well said.
I try not to.
All right. Yes. Oh, I need to pull up this crap, I didn't copy the link. The other big one was Dennis Nordman posted that he was leaving, or that he already left.
Highway
Pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, now I can't find the
thread. Let me see if I can pull up his statement. Yeah, I commented in that thread. So essentially what happened is, like, kind of out of the nowhere, Dennis posted that, well, he posted that he had already left Highway Pinball.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of did the hope everything, you know, goes well for him, but I'm not involved at this point. But yeah, let's pull up his actual Facebook post, because
it didn't sound positive, but I don't want to put words in his mouth either.
No, it sounded like someone who definitely wanted out, but he wasn't going to make a scene as he left, you know. It was, I would say, a seemingly frustrated but classy.
Sure. He wasn't swinging.
Yeah, he wasn't trying to take anybody down with him or anything like that, so. Let me.
We're well prepared. My mouse keeps dying. The battery
somehow
keeps dying.
I keep jumping over.
Which is awesome.
Reset the dang thing, because everyone was really supportive of his decision as well, which was nice to see.
I got
okay,
it.
Go ahead.
This topic is closed. That's why.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right. So his original post: I've decided to end my relationship with Highway Pinball. I am not the game designer on the Alien project. I made the initial playfield drawing and created concepts for 4 new playfield toys. The drawing can change drastically as the game develops. Andrew announced that the game will be ready in April, and I can't possibly agree with this. I've seen the video that he submitted to Fox, and if the game turns out anything like this, it will be great. So, yeah. And then everybody kind of pitches in from there. But some people, like even Keith Johnson, posted pretty early on. I just lost it because my mouse is freaking out. Anyway, basically, some designers don't touch a game the last year that the game is being worked on, you know, a year before it's released. So he didn't see it as big a deal. Highway posted something the next day, basically saying the game is already running in one of the virtual forms. So, okay, I got Highway's thing here too. Just to clarify our position, Dennis has indeed designed the playfield layout of Alien Pinball. And development of the game continues, even though he's moved on. We still consider his work to be complete with us, and development continues with our team. Are we behind schedule? We are behind schedule by approximately 1.5 weeks, yes. The prototype playfield gets cut next week, and ball guides either just before or after Christmas. Testing of the prototype is weeks, not months away. As for April production, we have a fully playable version of the game, complete with rules, on a digital platform already. He's, you know, I apologize to our customers for having been given an update in this way. It was not our choice that this post appeared in this way. And they said they're grateful for its contribution. So yeah, it sounds like it's not going to change a whole lot before it's, you know, what we've seen, which we haven't even seen that much.
Yeah. I'd love to see that video. Probably way too early to show that, but,
Yeah,
it sounds like that could be, you know, encouraging if they can keep on track with the vision they've presented.
Yeah, that could be a quick turnaround still. It doesn't seem like people are jumping ship quite as quickly, but I don't know. It didn't have the impact that a playable Big Lebowski has either.
Right, right.
So, that's unfortunate. It sounds like they had a rough go at the end, which is never fun, but if they're both happy and their new whatever directions, then good deal. Dennis can go do something else fun. Highway can have their team finish up and move on from there.
Yep.
Anyway. I don't know. That was like the thing we were going to talk about, and then it seemed to not be that big a deal.
Well,
unless, of course, you already have money down in Alien.
Yeah, that's out. The worry is if you have money invested.
Dennis actually requested that the thread be clocked, so that's why it's closed.
All right.
All right. Well, if you have if you have thoughts, if you pre-ordered the game, I'd like to know. I'd love to know anyway. I'm curious how many people have pre-ordered the game at this point. Some of those monster threads that are 1,500 posts are a little hard to wade through. But, yeah, there's got to be a good good way to get a Reader's Digest stuff on a lot of this stuff. Maybe that's what Robin's working on for the next update. I don't know. There's so many options here, sometimes it's hard to...
A drama condensation tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other big one, which was several hundred posts in the first day alone, was that Stern announced the Walking Dead Premium version, which, as we posted, is a surprise to no one. I think at one point, I wasn't able to find it, besides other people saying that they had remembered hearing it as well, and said that Stern had said they were going to make a premium if the other version sold well enough.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been the pattern for several games now, so.
Yeah. I think from Stern's side, they have, if they're sitting on Star Trek LEs and Mustang LEs, then they say, well, we just announced these two, the LEs will blow out, and then we won't have to worry about sitting on them. Demand's there, they can make an unlimited amount of premiums. It seems like from every run, the premiums are kind of the most popular ones with collectors.
Yeah, you don't pay as much as you do on the LE, and generally by that time, though, like the premiums seem to have usually a few quirks worked out. I don't know. It's almost like I don't want to say the definitive edition, but it's the edition that I think Stern's going to use when they talk about the game in the future, like when they show pictures, when it's referenced. It's usually going to be that premium model.
So. Yeah, premium seems to be kind of the banner version, I guess.
Yeah.
It's $1,100 difference between the LE and the premium. Somebody just posted something about a class action lawsuit against Stern.
No, I mean, that's
dumb.
Not something you can win. They're free to create and sell what they want, as long as it's not illegal.
Yeah, it sounds like basically the blood-splattered armor should have been included with the LE. That's what they're ticked off about. They have 100 downvotes on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, anyway, more drama for no reason. In my personal opinion is that the premium is the ugliest of the three.
It's the most, it looks like it would be at a junket for the TV show or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't have a cartoony styled art, the cel shaded art. It just has a picture of the original image.
The least amount of backlash originality, I guess you could say.
It has the least amount? Yeah, least amount of originality. Yeah, it's the most cookie cutter ish. It's not bad or anything, it's just not very exciting.
Yeah.
Or interesting. The backlash is the tank of heads from the governor's office. Which looks, if you have the topper too, it looks kind of like too many heads, I think, but whatever.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the nutsack nose. Oh. So there's that.
Yeah, that's something.
It's a plus. And it's $1,100 cheaper.
That's a big deal, though.
Yeah. So the difference is you're getting Gary's autograph, a plaque, and the rusty side rails and lockdown bar.
Yeah.
That's kind of the main difference between the two.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a huge difference for the cost. That's for sure.
No. It should be like a $500 difference. Or the LE should have been $500 or $600 cheaper, but oh well. I don't know. If you bought an LE, you're a collector, and that's what you wanted, so I don't know. Deal with it? Not to be a dick, but like...
It's kind of...
Only collectors are buying the LEs.
Yeah, yeah. And like I said, if you care enough about LE to pay for LE, it's still limited. It's still... I mean, it's not diminished in any way.
No. This is the Smaug edition next month. You can get it right now, but you can't get it next month. And I still think that's the best way to do these LE things. Have a timed order period. Here's 2 months. You order in that period, you can get whatever you want. After that, you're stuck paying premium. Yeah. That makes the most sense to me.
I think it's less of an issue than maybe it should be, but I can sympathize with the people who are a little bit put out, I guess. That's the line I'll take on it.
So Joe has a follow-up question. With all this crap hitting the fan between Dutch and Bonnie D, Medieval Madness is running late now. J-pop, of course, is always late.
Yeah.
And the pre-order model is completely flawed. It begs the question, is this going to kill pinball like arcades did when the market got flooded with crap and drama? I wasn't around buying games back then, so I don't know. But it's definitely not good. I think there's too many cooks in the kitchen.
Too many cooks.
There's just so many companies making cool themes, cool games. They're all taking pre-orders, basically. Isn't it? I think Spooky's the only one that's not.
I don't even know anymore. I just know that...
There's so many now.
That along with the explosion in manufacturers, there has been a mega splintering of standards, I guess you could say. So there's no, like... there's no...
Standards in what?
Standards in operation, I should guess you should say. Not ethics. No. As in... You know, well, this is going to be our business model. We're going to do it this way. And that's like, if you were a distributor and you wanted to distribute and operate pinball machines, well, imagine trying to do that with all these different boutique companies where they don't operate in what you're used to. I don't want to say unprofessional manner because that's not it, but it's just not. There's a different set of expectations with every single one. And it's. For a home buyer, too, it's like, okay, so I'm ordering direct from this guy. This other one has a distributor that I work with. Stern has their distributor network as well, but it doesn't necessarily overlap with these guys. It's just crazy. Like, it's an industry that has so many different methods of dealing with the customer. And I think it is getting a little bit confusing. And then... Since there's so many kind of one-off pinball makers out there, there's so many different levels of security for each company as well. So you're going to have some burnouts, you're going to have some major successes, you're going to have some middle of the roads. But I don't know, it's just such a hard thing to follow. I don't think it's going to death of pinball. I don't even know if it's going to hurt pinball in any way, but it definitely is somewhat confusing.
Yeah, there's going to be deaths along the way. Companies, for sure.
Yeah, but the industry as a whole seems fine.
Yeah, I think the industry will be okay. Is there any point in having distributors for pins anymore? Is Stern the only one that doesn't do direct sales? And why don't they?
I don't know. I appreciate distributors because they can provide, like, a showroom. And that's pretty awesome. But...
Yeah, a showroom to you, but... I mean, how many cities have a showroom? 50? 100, maybe?
Yeah, it's not what it used to be.
Not the bulk of the country.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, that model seems to have broken down. Other than...
Do distributors keep the hobby alive in their areas? Because there's a distributor? And people can come in and play test a game before they buy it?
I don't know. Maybe the...
And not just collectors, but ops as well.
Maybe the reason for it partially is because it allows essentially Stern to sell to two different markets. They can sell to an enthusiast market that they're savvy and they know, they could say, hey, we can sell to these real, savvy pinball players that, they're the hardcore ones. They know that they don't need to pay a retail price for a machine, so they can work with their distributor to get their best possible price. But then at the same time, you just have kind of like the Joe Schmo who's like, I don't know, it says retail on it, $6,500. I've got $6,500. I'll just pay that for it. And it allows for both of those markets to exist, whereas direct sales, I think you just kind of have to set your price and that's it. So... Maybe they kind of like playing in that space where, I don't know, though. So,
There's not, it's not a hard and fast price or terms.
Yeah, I don't know. It's it's definitely a little bit weird.
It seems like most people are pulling the trigger without their without even playing games at this point, so. But then an op, I don't know that an op would. An op wants something physically there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, well. If you're an op, let me know. Why do you have a job? It just made me think of, like, I don't know, say Radiohead releases a book. It's a $200 book, and they do 5,000 copies. It's going to sell out in, you know, an hour.
Right.
Because the audience is online. Yeah, like you said, they're savvy. They want it. They're tenacious. It seems like pinball has a similar type of following. And to me, $200 book is expensive, but there's a lot of that going on. I don't know. That's what made me think of it. Or they don't go through anybody. The band just sells it themselves. Anyway. All right. Are we done dishing dirt or whatever?
I think so. I feel sufficiently down.
Yeah, it's just been bummer after bummer this week. I don't know what the deal is. Holidays are 2 weeks away, and maybe it's just the end of the year. I don't know why it all came right now, but it's sad.
Maybe we air all the dirty laundry now so we can have a happy holiday. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So, moving on to something happier. Yeah?
Yeah.
Arcade Expo. It's coming up. It's basically in a month. January 16th through 18th. Next month, 2015. Banning, California. Go to arcadeexpo.com. 550 pinball machines, 200 video games on free play. They've got multiple pinball tournaments, seminars, refreshments available. Yeah. Big, huge collection. So check it out, arcadeexpo.com, or you can go arcadeexpo.com/collection to see what games are there. So that could be fun. I don't know if we're going or not. It doesn't sound like it.
But no, I it's looking more and more like I won't be able to, but my heart will be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Your heart will literally go on.
Yeah.
All right, so Featured 5 is a little weird. We're kind of just going to talk about some happy stuff. We're going to put some good feels in the old hobby.
Yeah, right? Just...
We ready to get into that?
Yeah, games that make you feel happy when you play them.
Sure, and we didn't really do a hard and fast top 5, because there's a lot of games. I mean, in its base, pinball should make you happy. It's a game. And I might be happy shooting drug dealers on Judge Dredd, but somebody else might be happy talking about one of the games, playing one of the games we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Good segue, Don. Strong. So,
joyful games.
Joyful games.
Ah. So.
So let's just bounce around. Sound good?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Looking at cartoon themes, you've got stuff like South Park, of course. Right away.
Why are you such Jeff? A bad person?
First one that came to mind for like a happy game was Bugs Bunny's Birthday Bash. Now a lot of people don't like this game. I get that, but it's literally a birthday party themed game.
And you can cry if you want to.
You can cry. It's cute, it's colorful, it's happy. It's a happy game. I don't know. I'm happy playing it. It does stuff that no other pinball machine does.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you be happy? You don't have to pay $8,500 for it. You pay 50 cents, you play your game.
That's true.
It's a happy game. It has carrot flippers.
Can't we all just be happy?
Please. Carrot flippers and little cool birthday candle alphanumeric animations.
It has some great animations, actually.
Yes.
So. All right. So here's my first one. My first one is Black Knight 2000. Because it is fantastically cheesy with that music.
It's about a murderer on a horse.
But you can do it. You can stop him. Just the whole sound is just so upbeat. And even when he's mocking you, he sounds like an 80s commercial. Like of a bad guy in a toy commercial or something like that. I don't know how to explain it, but it's like... that's super nostalgic, not just because of when the game is released, but it just kind of triggers that that feeling of being a kid when you play that. I don't know. There's just something about the sound and the look and the lights and everything that's just whimsical, I guess you could say.
It's whimsical.
It's full of whimsy. So.
Black Knight 2000.
Yes. It's hard not to grin, not bad. At least a little.
Somebody asked on our local forum this week to name a desert island pin, and that was one of mine because I think that song would keep me happy for a while.
Yeah.
Keep me moving. The ultimate would be Hercules because you'd have an instant shelter.
Yeah, and, you know, the games last so long on that because you flip it and it's a good 45 seconds before it's back to your flippers again. So.
Yeah. You can use the cue ball to kill a wild hyena and you got a meal. Use one of the flippers as a spit.
Yeah, and if you've come across any other survivors on the island, they can also live in the pin with you. So it's great.
That's true. All right, what do you think about Wizard of Oz?
I think it was on my list.
I know it's new. We talk about it a lot. I get it. It's not an indie hipster pick. But, man, that is, it's a girly theme. It's a family theme. But, man, they nailed it as far as incorporating the theme into the game.
Yeah.
You got danger and adventure.
The dancing scarecrow.
You got dancing silly guys, yeah.
No, it's
whimsy.
It's one I put down for sure. That belongs on a list of happy, cheerful pins.
It makes you smile. There's so much going on. Sorry, can you edit that out?
Not that either.
I'm just so full of cheer.
It's just pouring out of your nose. That's great.
The light show, pretty much everybody plays Wizard of Oz and goes like, whoa, this is cool, this is cool.
I agree.
I don't know any other pinball people, but non-people pinball people love it.
Yeah, yeah. I had that on mine.
All right.
My next one would be Taxi. You know, it's bright. It's kind of funny.
You're picking up a vampire, a harlot.
You've got
a robot. You got Santa.
You've got Santa Claus. The sounds on it are nice, and it's just, I don't know, it's one of those lighthearted pins. And if you ring the bell, if they don't know it's coming when the bell goes off, it scares the crap out of them, and then they think, you know, well, that was fun, that was exciting, and everything. It's just, I don't know, it's just one of those fun, happy pins.
It is a very charming game.
It's whimsical.
With burn victims. It's very, very whimsical. What do you think about Game Show? The Game Show.
Yeah, that kind of fits the bill.
It's fun, it's lighthearted, you're winning cars and money, and the playfield's nothing to write home about, but it's the light show, the music, they're fun.
I agree.
Not a huge collector game, but not a bad game. And I'm happy. It's a good time. Reminds you why you like the game.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Do you think it helps that we're not going to play for an hour and a half like a Keith Elwin or something? So we're able to enjoy games that maybe are boring to other players?
That's possible. But who's to say I'm not that good?
Well, I was mostly speaking about myself, but in... Yeah.
No, I think that probably would help, actually, because could you imagine the grind of watching Keith Elwin play Black Knight 2000?
I'd rather not.
Yeah, that'd be rough. So
that would be rough.
My next one is the Addams Family.
Yeah, everybody loves that
pretty
one.
Pretty hard not to see something that... someone plays that game, and if it's their first time, at some point something will surprise them, whether it's Thing or the power doing something funny to the ball or some of the sound drops. Sound drop where he says, keep the ball, I've got a whole bucket full of them. Everyone always remembers that scene from the movie. That's when he's hitting golf balls off. Yeah, I remember that. So that one's just good. Theme and Also, when the flippers flip on the end of ball music, that's always fun. So,
The seance knock is pretty
cool. It's pretty whimsical. So,
it's very whimsical. What do you think about Jumping Jack? It looks like everyone on that game is having the time of their life.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's a party and we don't care. We're just so happy.
We're just hanging out with this giant Jack in the Box. He's having a good time with these voluptuous women.
It's almost creepy, but still fun.
It's not quite creepy. The art is strong enough. The gameplay is actually pretty good on that game.
Yeah, I'm on board with that. That would bring me up from my downs.
You have downs?
When I'm down, you know, when I've been...
Oh, the blues, yes.
Yeah, that'd
cure your blues.
Yeah, that would do it.
This topic sucks, totally. Jeff. Sorry. Happy games. Go. What's your next one?
Spider-Man. That's...
I thought about that one.
Funny, great to listen to game, even if you're playing poorly. And the soundtrack on that sucker gets you amped.
Yes.
it's good.
Especially game. The 70s theme song.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The light show after the third ball drains. That's great. Mm-hmm. So.
Spider-Man is one of those games, too. Like, even if you do really bad, you still did something kind of fun.
Yeah, it's easy to start
a mode. Like, it's not a drain hog or anything.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of am starting to realize that Spider-Man fits on pretty much any featured five.
Yeah? Really?
Pretty much.
Top five favorite Playfield toys?
Shut okay. up.
Top five hardest problems to fix? Sexiest backlash.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
Satisfying shots? Does have that. That Venom shot's very
good. That Venom shot feels great.
Hidden skill shots. Does it have a hidden skill shot?
Well, you've got the Venom skill shot where you do the soft plunge instead of doing the rollovers. Yeah. That's pretty good.
That's a good one. Strong. Top five plungerless games.
Oh, it's got a plunger.
Damn. So, all right. Any others? Do you have any other...
Some honorable mentions?
Hot games? Sure.
Harlem Globetrotters?
Yes.
That one's...
That one and Dolly, I love the friggin' in-lane drop targets on those two.
Yeah,
games.
Yeah. So, also similar to that would be Kiss. Just because, like, I think whether you like their music Harlem or not, there's something charming about it.
Yes, that is
true.
It's Kiss.
Yeah, Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Sucks.
No, it's whimsical.
I'm just kidding. That is a great one. I love that game.
I know you do. And it loves
Even
you
with
back.
The Super Troll.
Quickly to run through them, No Good Gophers. It's funny. It's bright. Jackbot. I really...
Gambling. Yeah,
all uplifting stuff there. Addiction. Simpsons Pinball Party. Yeah. It's great, especially if you're a fan of the show. Monster Bash is a really good one. Whitewater. Shrek. And then this one, Attack from Mars and Medieval Madness, obviously. This one I thought for sure we both were going to have on the list, and I was saving it for my last. See, I pulled a fake out, and I did my honorable mentions before this one. But
24, you're right.
No.
I was holding
so
back.
Oh. You could say either or and or Scared Stiff and Elvira and the Party Monsters. So
those are a lot of fun.
They're funny. They're fun to shoot. Lots of color. And
yeah, they're happy. I was thinking more wholesome, I guess, than happy.
They're very wholesome.
And also Jumping Jack.
Yeah. But
like the church youth group would have in their youth hostel or whatever. What's it called? Rec room?
Yeah, yeah. You definitely want a scared
Romper
stiff
room?
In there.
Yes.
So. No, I think really what it comes down to is there are a lot of really... I mean... Rarely is there a pinball machine you walk to and like, ah, man, this is just kind of dreary. Devil's Dare. And, we're supposed to be having fun, right? Like, there's been...
Yeah, well, that makes me think about the other side of the quarter. Like,
Spook.
The darkest themes. Yeah.
The, the ones that want you to make you want to like dress in black or something. I don't know. It's the what's the opposite of uplifting?
Like Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
What's that drawing of like an ogre eating a guy? Eating a person.
I know what you're talking about. That old classical art piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's messed up.
It always reminds me of Gorgar.
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
And Shrek.
Well, Shrek was a troll who probably, when not being filmed for his reality movie series...
He was an ogre, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant, an ogre.
There's a difference?
Yes.
Oh, here it is. I found it. Ah, I sort of found it. Hang on. Hold that. This is going to bug me, and then we're going to get some art guy being like, oh, you mean whatever this is called. Oh, they're all in Spanish.
That's cool.
This is thrilling.
This is compelling.
There's like all these pictures of this ogre eating this person, and none of them are actually...
They're not the ones you were looking for.
Well, it's not telling me the name of the stupid drawing. They just used it in other things. Oh, Painting of Kronos by Goya.
Yeah.
Eating his children.
Yeah, it's quite...
Reminds me of Shrek, yes.
I can see the similarities there. Mm. Good job connecting those.
Thank you. Now I got to put this in the show notes. Jeez, just creating more work. All right. Yeah. Well, whatever you do, have some fun. Go play some fun pinball. Don't be a friggin' grump on the internet making trouble for everybody being a jerk.
I agree.
Right?
I agree.
Huzzah.
Smile a little bit. You guys remember that? Remember how to do that?
Smile a little bit?
I look weird when I smile.
Yeah, I don't want to smile. Do that either. Mm-mm.
I won't.
The pinball arcade is on sale. That makes me smile.
Yay.
Segway on Ouya, even. Not on any platforms I would use, but it is on sale on Ouya, Steam, Android, Mac Store, I think. But not iOS, somehow.
So that would be the desktop version of it?
I believe so. Okay. Only one of the Apple versions. Naturally, I don't have the list here. Anyway, yeah, it's on sale. Seasons 1 and 2 are half off right now, so go buy them if you didn't buy them 4 years ago when they came out.
Do it.
The pinball. I'm getting the right list here. Oh, that's because today's the first day of the 12 days of Pinball Arcade Christmas. They did it last year. Remember last year, one of the days was when they announced that Oddballs game or whatever? Oodballs?
I remember, something weird about that.
Vaguely. Oh, what was it called? Fuzzles or something? Fuzzballs?
I don't remember.
Anyway,
but it's
still not out, so there you go. It's iOS, Steam, Google Play, Amazon, and Ouya. Season 1 and 2 packs, Basic and Pro, are 50% off until 2015, so the end of the year.
You're running out of time, people.
All right, good. All right, well, let's just put this thing to bed. Do we have any other crap to talk about? Oh, Venom is out by Zen Pinball.
Yeah, and you did a review of it.
I did a review on GamerTheory.com.
Yep.
And, yeah, it was fun. Thanks, Jeff, for the review code. Thank you, Zen, for the review code. I think it's the hardest... Maybe the hardest Zen table, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of people saying it's, you know, top tier as far as the Zen tables go. So, people seem to be really happy with it.
Yeah, the upper playfield plays pretty well. It is a two-tier game. The ramps are very difficult to hit. They're way on the outside of the table. The mode starting scoop and skill shot scoop are way on the left, and I never intentionally hit it ever. It would only occasionally just bounce in there. So what's in the middle of the playfield? A big thing of drop targets, but if you hit the wrong target, they all come back up. So it's a constant battle. It's pretty challenging. The whole game's pretty challenging. But there's a lot of cool stuff in there. They did a really nice job, as always. Very polished. And some of their tables, people say, are too easy. So maybe this is the challenge.
That is the answer. Fits the theme. Venom was always one of the tougher villains for Spider-Man, just given how he can... Just given what he is. Yeah. So.
Oh, and when Carnage gets out, you release Carnage, which goes to another playfield, like a sub-playfield, which is pretty cool, actually. It's like a jailbreak. But if you don't capture Carnage, you don't get a bonus. And that carries over from ball to ball until you do capture him.
Hmm.
That's pretty sinister.
Wow. I think your sinister was a Spider-Man pun, right?
Yes.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool rule. Yes. And Earthshaker is coming, by the way, to the pinball arcade. They've announced that's the next table. I hope they did. Or maybe I just... No, I'm pretty sure they did. Maybe I just opened up a bag of cats.
I think you're okay.
Oh, okay. They announced it on December 5th.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we couldn't have edited that out or anything. Time. We would have just had to release that.
Yeah. No, that one's... Ooh, that's been stewing for a while. Okay, good. Yeah, it's official now. I'll be happy to hit that ramp a couple more times when that game comes out. They still haven't released the last couple tables on PlayStation as piecemeal. They're only in the
season pack?
Season 3 pack, yeah.
That's weird.
What's up with that? Yeah, it's not cool, man. I wanted Dracula, I think, was at the end. And Diner? Or maybe Diner was the last table that did come out.
I don't know. I haven't kept up with that release schedule.
Yeah, so. I haven't played it in a while. I've been too busy playing Rollers of the Realm on the Vita. So. All right. So, Jeff, you know what I'm going to say next, right?
The Jackbots for... I mean, the Pinbots for sale?
No. We have a contest prize and no contest, like always.
Oh, good job, us.
Dang it. Email us, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, with some kind of feedback, and you'll be entered to win. It is a shirt from lifeunderglass.net. It's an extra large. It is that very famous photograph of a boxer getting punched in the face, but he's like spitting out pinballs. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I will link it in the show notes. It's a great looking shirt. David Paul does some awesome pop art designs at lifeunderglass.net, and he donated the shirt to give away. But we ask a lot of questions this show to the listeners, so there should be a lot of things to comment on if you have more Dutch pinball news you want to talk about, if you pre-ordered Alien pin, if there's video games you want a pin made out of, or Mr. Hand video reviews. There's lots of stuff.
He's basically the Andy Warhol of pinball art, right?
Yes. I was thinking Andy Kaufman and didn't know what you were talking about. But yes, Andy Warhol, yes.
Yeah.
He should make a shirt that says Cam Balls suit.
Look at you. Huh? Yeah, that's...
Oh.
That one's for free. Next one we'll charge for. But that idea you can have.
Yes. This might be our shortest episode ever, Jeff.
Could be. I don't know.
We're at 1:15 or so right now.
I mean, it was just kind of hard because the stuff to talk about this show was so overly negative that it was just hard to talk about it too much.
Yeah, we didn't want to be that guy.
Yeah. We're trying to...
I don't want to be that guy.
We're trying to make it so like you're happy going into your holiday, which you choose to celebrate at the end of the year.
And more so, I'm not willing to delve into 800 posts about something...
Yeah,
that is not positive. I don't know. There are people who are, and they're great reporters, and reporters have to get in there and get dirty, and that is not us. But that is a lot of other podcasts that will be talking about it, so
I will
check those out,
yeah,
I guess.
I'll happily listen to what they have to say on the matter.
Coast to Coast, Nate gives a great perspective on the hobby from the point of a businessman, so I'm sure he'll have a great take on it. And he's not afraid to get his hands dirty. He's not a puss like us. So check out Coast Coast Pinball, Gaming Junkies, Pinheads Pinball Podcast, Broken Token.
Spooky.
Lachlan Lit, Spooky Pinball. Yeah, Spooky. If you want if you want a really fun, positive podcast, Blockade. Spooky is like the funniest one, huh?
Blockade.
The Blockade is pretty good, too. They just hit 1 year old. They just had a birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh, man, there was something they talked about that I wanted to talk about, but my hands were busy while my ears were listening to their show, so I didn't write it down. Dang it. Anyway, good job, Blockade. Congratulations. Happy birthday. There you go.
Yeah.
You can check us out, thepinballpodcast.com. Thank you, Nifty LED, for your sponsorship. Thank you, Stitcher listeners. Twitter.com/pinballpodcast, Facebook.com/pinballpodcast, Instagram.com/pinballpodcast, pinballpodcast@gmail.com, Google+, and the Pinball Podcast. Oh, and Jeff, I got the new Hallmark pinball ornament.
For yourself.
Have you seen this? For myself, yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say for me, but your sentence stopped at ornament, so.
It was kind of expensive, so no, I did not get you one.
That's okay.
I guess I could, but it looks like one of the dime store pinball machines where you pull back the little spring and the ball goes into little cups.
Oh, yeah, I saw it. Oh, I saw it.
Yeah, it has a little elf on it, but it tells you it spins a wheel when you launch the ball, and it'll basically land on naughty or nice or not sure. So it's kind of like a fortune teller or a magic 8-ball pinball ornament.
Yeah.
Has a lot of different voices in it, call-outs, rather. It's got EM style sounds. It's pretty cool. The plunger is a little candy cane, which is kind of nice. And it was actually designed by the guy who designed the Santa plane pinball machine ornament.
The classic.
They released back in 96.
That yeah, still is on eBay every year for high prices.
Yeah, you know, I actually found one for $16.
That's not bad.
Like 3 months ago. Oh. Yeah, brand new and everything. So I have that by the tree too. But most of the new ones, like the new one that came out this year, just takes batteries. But that one you have to plug into like the light socket on your tree.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but the lights have changed in the past 20 years, so it doesn't fit on mine.
Oh.
I need to get Miso Mods to drum up a conversion
kit. He really should be on this project. A mod. Yeah.
They need to be modding it out.
There must be at least three or four other people who have that problem.
Shut up, Jeff.
So, I know, going back to the video games with pinball machines, I know they said in the last 15 years, right? I'm just reminding people because I really want people to write in about this.
Yeah, we just want to talk about video games.
I'm going to give an audio clue of one that I think would be great, and you should be able to get this pretty easy, Don. Let's load it up, and...
I'm listening.
Awesome. Now it doesn't want to play. So, never mind.
It sounded like Pong when the ball hits the paddle.
Pong would be actually pretty fun as a pinball machine. Think about it.
I can see your desktop. I don't know if you knew that. But I don't see...
Can you see my hand waving?
...any files. No.
How do you see my...
I saw you reading about Sunset Overdrive in the middle of the show a little while ago.
Oh, I was going to go see if there was a cool picture for when I was talking about it as a game one, yeah. How did you...
Oh.
Because I'm not...
I can see your mouse moving.
Can you see Audacity going?
Probably.
Because that's not even the computer I'm using. That's so crazy.
Oh, it's Kevin Durant doing something.
Wait, so you can see when I'm going like through...
Yes.
What? Okay, for people who aren't listening, so now what just happened?
The podcast is coming from inside your house,
wait.
Jeff.
Is that going... Is that blocking it?
Yes. Yes. I see your hand.
Okay, so anyway. I know what's happening. That's hilarious. It's using the rear camera on my Surface, which I am doing this call through. So you're seeing my desktop screen in the background. Like, I'm not even using that computer. That's really weird.
I'm glad I'm not seeing the front view.
I can change that.
Oh, crap. We almost forgot to mention Maverick. Oh, my gosh.
No, we wouldn't forget about Maverick.
That was close.
So,
and I have been playing a lot of Sunset Overdrive, by the way. That would be an awesome pin. Yeah, that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Everybody email Zen. Let's make that happen.
For real, though, no. I want some of those video game suggestions.
Yes. Give us your video game suggestions. of pinball machines from 90. Now we'll just go 2000 on.
2000?
2000 till now.
Okay, so that's middle.
So Psychonauts.
Yeah, that's like middle of the Nintendo 64, PlayStation 1 era up until now. Here we go.
Yeah, it's just before PS2 hit.
Here's my audio clue. And this is not allowed, so I can play it now. Yeah. Do you know this one?
I feel like I should.
You should. You're an embarrassment.
I don't.
No, it's Battletoads. I say it'd be funny because it'd be so hard. You plunge it and like it tilts up to like 70 degrees and just becomes impossible to do anything immediately.
There's only one flipper.
Yeah. Right. It's like the zipper flippers, but they just get wider as the ball goes on. So
that's more than 15 years old. I was trying to think in the past 15 years.
That's why I said it wasn't eligible, so.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're looking for more recent classics. So
I think the only ones Zen has are Ninja Gaiden and Street Fighter 2. As far as video games.
Yeah, that might be right.
The Ninja Gaiden one is actually pretty cool. Street Fighter 1 kind of sucks.
Well, it's tradition.
Yeah. I think I like the real one more than the virtual one, actually.
Maybe.
Yeah. Huh, I never thought about that. All right, so we'll call it a show. Thanks for listening, if you've bothered for some reason.
Yeah.
And have a great holiday. Have a great Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
Saturnalia.
New Year's Eve. Let's see, today's the 14th, so we'll get one more out before the end of the year, probably?
Yeah, we should.
Cool.
So.
All right. Oh, yeah. This is a small thing, but I was listening to the We Talk Games podcast, and they said something about, yeah, it's like Steve Ritchie, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, who the heck's Steve Ritchie? I couldn't understand the context for what they were saying, but they were actually talking about the designer of Black Knight. And it just threw me off that someone outside of the hobby was talking about someone so deeply inside the hobby.
And they were talking about pinball, like, for that brief moment?
They mentioned, trying to remember the context. It might have been the music, actually, and they said the Steve Ritchie game Black Knight. Oh, no, it was the design of a character in a game they were talking about.
Okay.
Was similar to the Black Knight. But they didn't call it, like, oh, that pinball machine Black Knight. They call it that Steve Ritchie game Black Knight. So hearing his name just, like, it took me out of my element for a minute there. I was like, whoa, what are they talking about? Anyway, We Talk Games podcast. I love that podcast. Check it out.
We've told people to check out a lot of non-pinball podcasts.
Yeah, listen to Serial and We Talk Games.
Yeah.
On your Sony Walkman.
My brother and me. It's funny.
I finally started listening to Giant Bomb again after years of not caring.
Yeah. I like that podcast.
I've just been video
game
hungry.
I've talked about the Ryan Davis thing. It's still like hard not to hear him on there. So, but, okay.
Yep.
Other podcasts, they're out there on Stitcher.
Yes.
So,
all right. Have a week.
Yep. Bye, guys.
Love you.